You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, I'm Glenda Geek, coming to you from the studio in Ocala, Florida.
Oh, you're back at home. I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 24th, episode 3439, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
We have a fun show planned for you.
I was going to tell you, I just read that number of 3439, and I listened to this podcast called Smartless, and they just, like, the one I heard, they were like, we have 200 episodes, oh my God, and they, like, celebrated 200, I'm like.
yeah, let us know when you grow up.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool podcast, but, like, I was like, oh, they got 200, that's cute.
Do you know how many make it to 200? Very few.
Yeah,
very few. Probably 1% make it to 200.
Well, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes did. Congratulations on 200. They're kind of a big deal. They're, like, important, but whatever.
They have a few more listeners than us. I do know that.
Yeah, they are winning that.
Yeah. Anna is going to join us today from the Western States Horse Expo to tell us all about this year's event. We get a lot of crap for not covering West Coast things, so here we go. We're going to cover something on the West Coast. We have a lot of listeners out there, too. I'm going to share a recipe for cheddar cheese soup, and I'm going to tell you why I love this recipe and where I fell in love with it and how it's a direct copy of a very famous one.
If it's anything to do with melted cheese, I'm in.
What are you currently eating cheese? You've been off and on cheese for over the years during your vegan states.
I've learned, Glenn, that first of all, I'm just happiest when I have cheese. And also the thing I need in life is a combination of three things.
Bread,
and you can add
and
more
booze.
Bread, cheese, and tomatoes is the meal, and the booze is after. I mean, that's like, that's not food. Bread, cheese, and tomatoes in any form. You can throw spinach or arugula in there. You can make something healthy out of it, but pretty much those three things. So if I can add bread to the soup, like dip it in the oh my God, I'm excited for the recipe.
Yeah, garlic bread's really good.
I'm sure you probably have some toxic thing like bacon in it, but we'll leave it out.
Well, we can probably figure that out. Because yes, there is. Really bad ads also today. We have a bunch of good bad ads. Hey, we're going to do a post show. We don't have no idea what we're talking about there. I wanted to do a follow-up on Wednesday's weird news. Remind us, we had a thong story on Wednesday.
Yes, that sounds weird, but we did. It was a post on Reddit that a woman made, and went viral. She's 26 years old. She's a veterinarian. It's her first day on the job. And a woman brought in a really sick puppy, and they took an x-ray, and they realized it had something in its intestines. It had eaten something it wasn't supposed to. So what they did was they did surgery on it. They opened it up, took it out. Turns out it was a thong. So they come out, when the owners come in to pick the dog up, they're like, look what we found, and it's a thong. And the wife was like, I don't wear thongs. So turns out the husband is outed for having an affair. The woman he's having an affair with left the thong at home. How do you forget your underwear? She was wanting him to be caught. That's a whole different story. Anyway, I just came up with that now. So left the thong, the dog ate it, surgery was performed, came out. Oh my God, my husband's having an affair, and they're now getting divorced.
And we thought, wow, that's the first time we ever heard that one. It's never happened before. We were wrong. So our auditors, a bunch of them work for veterinarians.
Are veterinarians.
You want me to read you a couple that they posted? So my first year internship at the veterinary school, I too pulled out a thong from a puppy, heroically showed the offending object to the owners and family at the front desk. Upon seeing the color drain from the wife's face, upon showing her the green lacy number, she replies, I don't wear thongs. Apparently neither her husband nor her sons did either.
That sounds like the same exact story.
I when I was 16 years old and working for a vet, I was the one who proudly showed the owners a pair of pantyhose the dog had eaten.
Oh, God.
And the vet had just removed from the dog. Same thing. The wife went pale. The husband went red. They were not her pantyhose. So this is a common thing. This is just another one. My in-laws had a dog who had a taste for undies and washcloths. There were times my husband or father-in-law had to help him because one was stuck on the way out. That dog definitely had surgery at least 3 times. My sister-in-law lost many a thong to that dog.
Pick up your stuff!
This is a common thing, apparently. We didn't know. We were out of the loop on dogs eating thongs.
Let's just think to ourselves, okay, what can we do here? All right, take your underwear. When you take it off, walk it on over to the hamper.
Yes.
Just drop that hamper. Puppy in there. If you don't have one, get one. Yeah.
They're real cheap at Walmart. Oh, but God. Some dogs will get into anything. You know that. Do the Bassets eat weird stuff?
You know, I mean, to be fair, like, they have, like, their bones that they eat that I buy, like, these $9 million bones that come from whatever. And anyway, they eat those, but, like, I feel like Homer's just a little too unmotivated.
I was just going to say they're too lazy to go after anything.
It's just like, hey, guys, I'm going to take a nap now. I'm really tired from sleeping so much.
Well, and he is the official mascot of the baseball team. He has that responsibility, which is tiring. I mean,
loves going to the baseball games. And
he
so,
gets petted by everybody, I bet.
Yeah, everybody loves him. He's a ambassador for dogs, for sure. But I will tell you the one thing he did this past. So on Monday, we had talked, was I going to go to the baseball game or was I going to go to the kids program? Went to the game. Turns out the coach, who we don't like, wasn't going to be there. So Chad got to be the head coach. So it was like, no brainer, right? So I take Homer and we get out of the car and we're like, I know we haven't done daily wins yet. We'll get to it. And so we're walking into the game and there's like a billion people. Like everybody in the town of Norman either goes to soccer or baseball. And
nothing else to do.
Yeah, there's nothing else to do. So everybody's at the baseball field and Homer, and he's on a leash and he just pulls me and I go leaping forward and because he sees kids and he just loves kids and he sees this little girl and he just runs up to this little girl and she's like, puppy. And he just goes right past her.
Oh, like, no.
Right past her and grabs a stuffed animal out of her backpack and just And she's like, my puppy. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And so I grab it out of his mouth and it's, of course, you know, gooey. And I'm like, I go to hand it back to her and she looks at me and she goes, he can have it. I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was probably like 5. She was like, no, it's okay. He can have it. He loves it. And then I go to the parents and I was like, hi, my dog just like stole your daughter's puppy out of her backpack. And she's saying we can have it. And I just want to double check. And the dad was like, take it. We have enough. Please. And the mom's like, oh, she's sharing. That's so sweet. And the dad's like, just take it and go.
She's so sick of tripping over toys at home.
There's just stuffed animals everywhere. And she had like a backpack with like 12, but he picked the one that looked just like him. I will post a picture of him with it later because it does. It looks like a tiny mini Homer that he just saw and beelined for. And she thought he was running up to him. And he's like, nope, bye. And he got right in her bag. And that is not the first time he has shown up here with stuffed animals. He came walking up to the house with a giant bear.
Did we ever figure out where those came from?
The bear? Never. Like he just walks out. And I mean, I message everybody around here like, hi, are you missing a giant teddy bear? No. I'd never seen it before. And then 2 days later, he shows up at the house with a Pokemon, like the yellow Pikachu thing. And I was like, well, guess he captured a Pokemon.
All right. Let's see some daily winnies. There's no auditor birthdays this weekend, surprisingly. So I did want to give my daily weenie. We haven't really talked about this since the weekend at the award ceremony.
Well, you were a little upset. I mean, it's fine.
I wasn't actually. It was fine. But I was up for the Equine and Visionary Award, and thank God I didn't win it because my plane was canceled the first day, didn't get in the second day, and I would have missed the awards. So Pony Club won the Equine Visionary Award this year. So congratulations to the United States Pony Club, 75 years old. Of course, Jennifer's a graduate of Pony Club. And when I first met Jennifer, she was actually still involved in helping out the Pony Club. So, and I know everybody over there. So congratulations.
If you would have beat the Pony Club, they would have come and kicked you in the shin, like all those girls with their ponies.
I know. So, and they are older than me. So congratulations. They're one of the very few things that's older than me, but congratulations to them.
Kind of a double daily Winnie for my family here because it's Lucas's last day of school. And do you know what that means?
That means he's going to be home all summer.
That means that today is field day. Oh. And field day is like the exciting,
around the track,
games, competitions. Yeah. And parent volunteers were needed. So my husband is currently probably keeping score in the three-legged race at field day at Lucas's school. Well, I know, but I had to do this. So I had to miss out on field day.
Yeah, you're devastated, aren't you?
It was very sad, but I am not currently. And part of the reason that this is really sad. Like, so Lucas is in sixth grade, but he's supposed to be in fifth grade. And he would be the youngest person in fifth grade because his birthday is May 31st. So he's like almost 2 years younger than the kids in this class. And there is one girl who is such a bully because my son is not at an age where hormones have kicked in, but these girls are awful to him because he's like 2 years younger than them and they're so terrible. And so that was another reason I was like, Chad, you have to go and protect our son. They're going to be mean to him. They're so mean. Girls are so mean.
Girls are mean at that age when they like you, right?
She can't, but she doesn't like him because he's 2 years younger than her. Like, she's so mean. And she's just like the total mean girl. And what's really, I was like, I will call her mama right now. She made a list. Okay. Yesterday. And I'm like, that is mean girl BS drama. And I almost called the school and Lucas is like, Mom, please stop. Mom, please stop. Please. It's okay. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Lucas is the sweetest, most compassionate person on earth. So he would never stand up for himself.
He doesn't want to get into any trouble. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. She made like a fat kid list and put him as number one. Like, I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible. So it was just really rude. So I sent Dad to school. I was like, you are going to be there on his last day. And then as soon as field day is done, he is not going to class party. You are bringing him home. You are bringing him home because Chad's nicer than I am about stuff like that. Like, I'll get in a little girl's face. I've been teaching riding lessons for 20 years. I not have a problem talking to your child. They don't like that at schools, really. No, so really it's probably better I didn't go. But yeah, so that
Chad would be more diplomatic. He has to deal with people on an airplane. So
He runs fighter squadrons. He's way better at like being politically correct and pragmatic. I will tell you though that you'll appreciate this. So again, I said Lucas's birthday is May 31st, but Chad's going to be gone on a flight. He's flying that day. So we decided to have the party on the 29th. So May 29th, I'm having a bunch of kids come over and we're having like a slumber party. No, this is like four boys only that are his age. And so they're all coming to the house and they're sleeping over. We're going to have like pizza and all the kinds of things that kids like to do. And I send out all the texts and I'm like, oh God. Chad, honey, we scheduled the party for the 29th. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, does that date ring a bell to you at all? And he's like, what? I'm like, May 29th. And I'm the one who scheduled and sent all the invitations. That's our wedding anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
We're so bad. Neither one of us were like, I mean, it didn't even ring a bell.
You have family time.
I'm going to have nine prepubescent pre-teenage boys in my house. Like, awesome. Happy anniversary, hon.
Well, I know it won't be happening that night on your anniversary.
Damn right.
Well, we're going to get to our first guest right of this word from KPPUSA.com. But I wanted to mention, remember I was out at the barn recording on Monday, and the minute we stopped recording the post show, a teenage red fox ran right by us, right by the barn. I mean, within 20 feet of us.
Oh, well.
A teenage red fox. All those years Jennifer spent fox hunting, she probably saw foxes two times. And here we are. She didn't even have to get on a horse. Don't need hounds or anything. Just ran right by us.
Hey, so, how's it going? Catch me if you can.
We were joking about that, about how all that time she spent fox hunting and she really never saw any foxes. And here we go, right by the barn.
Exactly.
And it was a teenager. It was kind of straggly, you know, skinny looking, but he was definitely not full grown. So teenage foxes look the same as teenage boys.
Well, here's what you can't have on your new farm is chickens.
No,
just feed the fox.
Won't feed chickens.
He'll look real fat real soon.
Yeah. I can't eat eggs. I'm allergic to them. So no chickens.
By the way, I would also, before we call our guest, I will tell you know what? I'll tell you after the guest what I am doing Saturday night for Farm Boy.
Okay. That's coming up right after we hear from Kentucky Performance Products and Anna from the Western States Horse Expo.
This Nutritional Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Biotin is a B vitamin and has become commonplace in feed rooms across the world because of its reputation as an effective hoof supplement. An interesting fact that was discovered by researchers looking at biotin's impact on hoof quality was that horses with normal blood levels of biotin still had poor quality hoof horn, and that despite normal blood levels, horses responded to high doses of biotin given orally. This tells us that unhealthy hooves are not necessarily a result of a deficiency. Over the years, multiple other studies have found a statistically significant improvement in overall hoof condition when horses are supplemented with at least 20 milligrams of biotin per day. Researchers found that if improvement in hoof quality was seen within 8 to 15 months of supplementation, the horse would need to remain on biotin the rest of its life to maintain that improvement. Other nutrients such as zinc, methionine, and iodine can also affect hoof quality. A well-balanced hoof supplement will contain all of these nutrients in addition to the 20 milligrams of biotin per serving. When you're looking for an affordable, effective hoof supplement, we recommend Keraform Hoof and Coat Supplement. If you want a show ring shine and strong, healthy hooves, you can count on Keraform. You can learn more about Keraform at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, hey, Anna, thanks for joining us from California.
Thank you for having me.
You know, our latest American Horse Council survey, we do an episode of this show with them once a month, showed that California is the second largest state for horses. And, you know, when I think it's like New York. Some of us who have never lived out in the West Coast, we think of New York as the city and there's nothing else, right? And we think of California as Los Angeles and there's nothing else. So when we hear the statistic that it's the second largest state for horses in America, it kind of surprises some of us.
Oh, I know. No, most people don't think about it at all.
And you're in Sacramento, of course, and that is horse country up there. Jamie is a Monty Roberts certified instructor and has been to Flag Us Up Farm about 100 times. So, you know, we know that area and know how horsey it is.
Yes, it is. We have so much land around the city, so it's a huge area for horses. A lot of disciplines are based out of here, all the way up over to the north and across over to Nevada.
That accent, though, you are not from California.
No, I'm not. I've been here for 25 years. I love it. And I've been working out here at the Murrieta Equestrian Center for 8 years. And it's fantastic. It's so much fun to be out in the horse world and being a part of this venue and as many competitions as we have here.
Now, is it Murrieta?
Yes, Murrieta Equestrian Center. We're one of the largest private equestrian centers on the West Coast. And we host, I think, about 60 to 65 shows a year.
Wow.
One of them being now our Horse Expo, which moved here in 2019.
And that's the Western States Expo. That's what we have you on to talk about today.
Yes.
So I know the Western States Expo has been around for a while. It was around before it moved to you guys, right?
Correct. It was founded by Mickey Nelson back in, I think, 1999, and was predominantly always at Cal Expo in Sacramento. In 2019, she made the decision to move it out here to our facility so that it could become more connected to the horse world. Cal Expo is a great facility, great for the vendors, great for the expo side, but not as horse friendly. And that's where we came into the picture, was the fact that we do have 18 arenas and, you know, 1,000 stalls on the property. Wow. We are able to really grow the event and bring it back to being horse centered while celebrating all things about the horse and the horse community.
So before we get to the Western States Expo, so the Equestrian Center, do you do mostly English stuff or Western stuff or both?
We do both. Yeah, we do both. We have a cutting arena. Actually, we have two cutting arenas and cattle facilities. So actually right now we are a dual facility. We have a cutting horse show in the back and we have a show jumping up on the main area facility. We have reining shows, all breed Western shows, hunter jumper, dressage, breed shows, some Arabians, saddle rides, walking horses. I mean, the majority of disciplines we can take care of here. We just don't have an eventing complex anymore, and we don't have barrel racing and majority of the rodeo disciplines. We're not able to accommodate them because of the size that they need.
And I was looking at pictures of your place, and it is pretty. I mean, it is pretty.
Yes, yeah. It is. We're very lucky, very green, lots of grazing areas, tree-lined driveways. And it's very centered. So we've got a cafe in the center. All the arenas kind of span out around that. So even though it's big, you don't really feel that you're too far removed from anything that's happening.
Cool. All right. So let's talk about the Western States Expo. That's coming up June 7th through the 9th. And you guys do a lot. I mean, it is an expo, right? You have clinicians and you have breed horses, you know, breeds there. Yeah. And all that stuff. But you also do something called the main event. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the main event. This is our first year producing the main event. And that is our evening event taking place on Saturday, June 8th, starts at 6:30. We wanted to create something that was separate from the expo. A lot of people, full day here, maybe they don't want to get that deeply involved in a discipline to watch a clinician teaching, and maybe they're not going to come for the shopping, but they would like to come out and just enjoy horses and watch what we can do with them. And so we put on an evening event that will be on 6:30 is when it starts on Saturday, and that will feature some of our top performers that we have coming for the weekend. Dan James, Brendan Weiss, the Bridalist Show Jumper, Kaylee Marie. We have our kind of unique 36 ride drill horse performance, which stems from the American Ride competition that we have here going for 3 days. There'll be the Parade of Breeds. We'll have I never pronounce it correctly, a La Garocha Pas de Deux, and then also dressage freestyles, a working equitation, charity speed off. We have so many fun things happening during it that it's really just a fun evening to celebrate the horse and to just connect and see something that most people will never get to see.
You know, I was looking at the lineup, and most of them we've had on the show. Actually, some of them mm-hmm. recently, like Brendan Weiss has been on the show recently. Kaylee Marie is a good friend of ours. Dan James, I just sat with his wife last week for an hour talking to her in Lexington. Yeah. So, you know, just the whole Warwick Schiller's coming, you know, all that kind of. I just love your, right. You have the best of the best coming, that's for sure.
We do. And I think that we officially bought the event last year. So this is our first year, 2024. Oh. With the Myriad Equestrian Center, actually making the event what we want for the community. And that was two things. Our owner, Carol Anderson Ward, is very, very focused on education. We have a foundation here called the West Coast Equine Foundation, and that is all about education and furthering the horse and human bond. And that connection, we have scholarships supporting children and youth going off into college. So it's very much tied to education, which is actually how we became involved with Expo years and years ago when we went there as a vendor ourselves from the nonprofit side. And so when Carol made the decision to make this an MEC event, she wanted the education. She wanted that to be really what we pushed out. And so that's really what we've tried to do. I mean, we have, dauntingly, 14 areas running for 3 days with educational elements. We have a couple of arenas that we've called immersive arenas. These are where, let's say, dressage is your discipline. And normally you might get one clinician that's a dressage clinician. Well, for 3 days at Expo, you've got all things dressage in one arena. We have horsemanship. We've got mountain trail. We've got ranch trail clinics. We've got the hunter jumper. From the judge's perspective, trying to help the competitive rider who may be out there competing in mountain trail, ranch, dressage. I think we've got some in reining too, who really want to know, what does the judge want to see? Like, am I riding it right? Yes, but am I performing it for their eyes and that ultimate score? So we've tried to create something that's not only so much fun, so much energy, you know, the opportunity to drive a Clydesdale and, you know, go out and meet the hounds from the local, from the fox hunting group coming over from Nevada, but to actually also be able to really learn for your sport. And then also for all the people that come who just enjoy horses to learn and take it to go back when they're actually working their horses at home and they're in arenas. So we've wanted to grow this.
And that's just a great idea.
To reach them anymore.
I don't know of any other expo that does what you said, where it's all immersive, like this arena's dressage. By the way, as an event organizer in the past, this sounds like a logistical nightmare, but more power to you guys.
It's coming together really well. We are very excited, but I agree with you. We aren't going to be the biggest expo in the country when it comes to vendors. We're not. But also, having experienced and gone to many expos, I get lost between, what am I there for? Am I there to shop? Am I there to try to learn for my sport? Or am I just there because I love the horse?
That's a good point. You're right about that, because you go and you end up doing all three of them not very well.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, shopping. I don't know one horse person that doesn't do shopping very well. They all do shopping.
Absolutely. Yeah. Show us some tack and we're going to buy it. Because even if we didn't need it, the new one's pretty.
That's right.
I resemble that remark.
I know. My daughter alone has about 15 saddle pads in all different colors. My husband's always like, how many horses do we own? Okay, one. But that's exactly the point. And also being an equestrian venue, our vendor areas are very different. So what we do is we take our covered arenas, we flatten, we bring in AstroTurf, and then we build the booths. So our vendors are very, very connected to the fact that you are at an equestrian property. You have horses riding up and down the road surrounding your arenas, and the people with the breed horses in particular, because these horses are so wonderful and so used to the public, they just walk around throughout the event. And so, you know, you could come out of our, you know, one of our marquee areas and stop and meet the Gypsies or the Clydesdales or the Minis. It really is a connected event. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is to create a community that supports all of these different elements within the equestrian world. Because we know, like you said at the beginning, how huge the equestrian world is, but also that massive economic impact we have to our local community, to our state, and really be able to kind of take that and give back to businesses just starting, or the tack shop that is competing with the online group. And, you know, still you can go and actually smell the tack, feel the tack, you know, do all of that that actually we need and we've always wanted, you know, from being children growing up in this.
Well, it is coming up on June 7th through the 9th at the Murrieta's Equestrian Center in Sacramento, California. Thank you for joining us today. And for all of our West Coast listeners, give us a report when you're there. Let us know. Let us know how many more saddle pads you bought. We want to know that too.
Right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
A lady never tells, Glenn. A lady never tells.
No, we don't.
Anna, thanks a bunch. Talk to you soon. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That sounds fantastic, actually. It sounds a little different than the other expos out there, and good for them for attempting to do that. We always said that they need to change it up, and it sounds like they're changing it up. I actually think that having the various disciplines go all day, so if you wanted to sit all day in dressage and watch the various clinicians in dressage, that's a great idea. Because how much would you pay for that if you were doing it as going to a clinic, right?
I know.
You'd pay hundreds of dollars to do that. All right. One of our terrific sponsors is Kent. Why don't you tell us about Kent, and then I'll do a recipe.
Well, no one knows your horse's thoughts, emotions, and moods as well as you. Just as in touch as you are with their personality, Sentinel's expert nutritionists are in tune with their dietary needs. With feeds in the form of extruded nuggets to provide exceptional nutrition and formulas made for every stage and life activity, Sentinel's wide choice of carefully crafted feeds makes it easy to find the perfect fit to better your horse's health. Learn more at feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork. That's feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork.
So one of the reasons that we moved to Florida was we love Disney, and before the crowds got excessive and you couldn't get on rides anymore. So when we first moved here, we had annual passes to go to Disney World, and one of our favorite things,
as every grown man does without children,
there's more of those than you would think. So we would go to Disney probably once a month. You remember those days? We'd go to Disney about once a month when we first moved here, and one of our favorite things to do was the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And they set up little booths all around Epcot, and you basically eat your way. They serve like appetizer portions, and you basically eat your way around the entire day. And some people drink their way around the entire day because every one of the booths has their specialty drink from that country.
By the way, that is a challenge that I did as a young dumb idiot, was you go to Epcot and it's called Drink Your Way Around the World.
That's right.
And you get the regular, like drink from every country. And let me just tell you that the Disney security guard who escorted me out on the second time I did it was very nice, and I appreciate him staying very kind.
You weren't the only one to be escorted out either.
No. There was a group of us. We did it, though. I did it. And now you couldn't get me to drink one thing and then another for nothing. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you're really mixing. You're really mixing your drinks.
Oh, man.
It's not like having 12 beers in a row.
I was like, come on, officer. Can't you put us on at least one ride? Like, we just want to ride one thing. No, you're going to have to leave.
No, they didn't really want you throwing up all over everybody else on the ride.
Yeah. I mean, it should be fun.
Le Cellier is the restaurant in Canada, and they have the Canadian booth. And the one thing that I absolutely loved, Jennifer did too, we got it every single time we went, was the cheddar cheese soup. And you know how you can go online and find the recipes for various popular recipes at restaurants around the country? Well, I found this one. I may have tweaked it a tiny bit. But this is the recipe for the cheddar cheese soup that you can get at Le Cellier restaurant in Canada, and I hope they don't sue me. So I didn't make it up. I just found it. But I make this all the time. Absolutely love this. Not so good when it's 95 degrees out, but when it's a little bit chillier, it's excellent. And if you make garlic bread with this, it is terrific. So now you could cut this part out. You need 1/4 pound of bacon, finely chopped. Everything's finely chopped for this. I mean, finely chopped. Even run it through the food processor chopped.
Is it cooked bacon?
Yeah, that's the first thing you do is you cook the bacon over a medium heat. And basically, you want the fat is what you're getting out of the bacon. I don't know what you could use to substitute for that. I don't know if you'd have to. But this cheese soup recipe has some different things in it, and it's why it's so tasty. And then you take you do a medium red onion, and again, you put everything here is in the food processor. You want all of this finely chopped, no chunks. Celery, you're going to finely chop it. Carrots, you're going to finely chop it. You need some flour, some milk, some chicken stock. You could use vegetable stock just fine. You wouldn't know a difference. You need 12 ounces of grated white cheddar. That's important. Find the white cheddar. You need Tabasco sauce and Worcestershire sauce and Moosehead Canadian ale. Now, you can substitute that, but it's got to be ale. It can't be beer. You got to have some thicker ale. And it's important that your ale's at room temperature, too. That makes a difference when you're making the soup. And all you do is in a large pot, you cook the bacon over medium heat, not till it's crispy, just till it's wilted. You add the onions, carrots, and you put those in the pot and cook them with the ale until they're cooked through. You sprinkle in the flour, basically make a roux. And then
you said ale. So you add onions, carrots and onions and to the bacon?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You add the onions and carrots to the bacon, right? And you just cook that till they're cooked. And it doesn't take long because remember, you put these in a food processor, they're chopped. It's more like mush than it is, you know, chopped up vegetables. And then you sprinkle in the flour and you make a roux till it's thick. And then you stir in the milk and the stock a little at a time, blending it the whole time because you're basically blending it to the roux. And then once you do that, you just simmer it for 15 minutes. You haven't put in the rest of the ingredients yet. So basically, it's just the basic ingredients, your roux and your stock and your milk. And then you remove it from the heat and you whisk in the cheese, the Tabasco sauce, the Worcestershire sauce, and the ale at the end. So they don't cook at all. You add salt and pepper, and that's it. You have cheese soup. So 15 minutes, that's fairly easy to make. It is so good. I have had cheese soup at restaurants, but it's boring. You know, it doesn't really have much tang to it.
So what's the different ingredient?
The Tabasco sauce and the Worcestershire sauce. You know, and of course your ale gives it flavor too, right? But the Tabasco sauce, because it's 3 dashes of Tabasco and a half teaspoon of Worcestershire. So that's just enough to give it some tang. And it's really good. It's just really good. I mean, if we went to the Food and Wine Festival, this is the first thing I went to every single time because I didn't want to fill up on the other stuff before I got to the cheese soup. And now I will say it doesn't keep really well. So like as a leftover, you can
gonna have to finish it. Yeah, oh, darn it.
To finish it. You'd really do. But would you get, some French bread with this? Oh, so good. It's so good because you're going to sop it up. But anyway.
Sliced tomatoes on the side. Sliced bread, cheese, tomatoes.
You can put
done.
Some healthy stuff if you want. But I will put the recipe in our show notes so you have it with the exact measurements and everything. It's easy to make. It's very good. And I highly recommend it. So let me know if you make it. Yeah. And this is something you could have because I don't think, I think that the bacon just adds salt basically to the mix.
My brother introduced me to this thing and I'm pretty sure it's little granules of poison, but it is like like meatless bacon bits.
What's in it? And soy, like everything else?
Poison, like I said, but it, MSG. I was like, MSG. He puts them on top of a salad and I was like, no. That's kind of good, but there's no bacon in it. So I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think without the bacon, you might have to put some oil in to make sure your onions and carrots don't burn. You're going to have to use oil of some kind when you get it started, but you could very easily do that. Well, that's it. That's my recipe for this week. And now it's your turn. You have to do the next recipe again. Or have you run out of
I've gotten really, really, really talented at cooking. I made a keto cilantro chicken last night. Yeah. You want me to tell you how I did it? Like, it's real quick.
Like with real chicken?
The real chicken.
Oh.
So a keto cilantro chicken.
Now, you didn't eat it.
No, I didn't eat it. But what I did was I went to Costco and I bought this package of cilantro chicken. And I took it home. And I cooked it.
I was going to say, you weren't touching the chicken.
I'm really talented. I've gotten really good at cooking Costco food that's already cooked. I'm so good.
You have brought some fun recipes to us, though. You really have.
I know. I actually do like to cook.
You're a better cook than you let on.
Right now, I am knee-deep in gardening, Glenn. Okay?
Oh, like, so you're planting all the plants?
I've planted all the plants, and here's what is so weird. So I don't know if this is normal for people, but I put the garden in the same spot as I did last year, and I had like 9 billion tomato plants. I had so many tomato plants. They were just like everywhere. And at the end of the season, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like, it was like a jungle in there. There's mosquitoes, and I'm like, I'm done. I have 900 cans of tomatoes that I've canned. Like, I'm good. So I left it. So we till it all. We shred it all. I've like used my tiller. I planted a reasonable amount of tomatoes, like maybe six tomato plants, some jalapenos because I love canning those too, pickling those. And then I did like a couple unique things, like some watermelon and some squash. But like, I mean, I used the same amount of space. But I'm out there yesterday and I'm like, what the heck is, I'm like trying to pick weeds. And I'm just like, this is not a weed. There are probably 600, Glenn, 600 volunteer tomato plants that have popped up.
Did you not have a hard freeze this winter?
We did! I don't know why things are alive, but we just tilled it like right where it was. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm murdering my children. So I plucked them all and I put them all in a bucket. Like I got to dig a couple out. They're so big. And so I plucked them all and I gave them to a neighbor and he's planted all of them. I was like, I can't murder these babies. They're like my grandchildren at this point, you know, like I feel like I was like emotionally like upset. think I was like, I stepped on one. Oh my God, I stepped on one.
This is your food, right? I mean, do you plant cherry tomatoes, big tomatoes, a combination, or just all one?
I did all of them last year, all of them. And there's this variety called the Homely Homer. And you know, I had to get in on that. They're just giant, weird looking tomatoes. But they were just so hard. So I was like, I'm just going to, and cherry tomatoes got exhausting because you pick and pick and pick and pick. And then you get like, you know, like a handful of stuff. So I was like, I'm not doing those. I'm just doing regular beefsteak tomatoes, just regular normal ones. Now I don't know what the hell's out there. They're everywhere. They're just popping up like, I mean, that's like weed. I was like, that's not a weed. That's a tomato plant. And then I was like, I'm so proud of myself. So for planting like a reasonable amount. So what I did was I dug a hole and I put like 20 plants that I picked, because they're like only like, you know, a hand tall. I put 20 of those in one hole and I was like, the strongest cells shall survive.
Do you know what we discovered we have at the farm? We didn't know. We left some patches of woods that we didn't clear, right? Because we kind of wanted the rustic look as opposed to the, you know, lawn look. So we're all these little patches of woods. Every patch of wood out there has at least 20 black raspberries. And they're growing. There's raspberries all over them.
But just don't eat things off a bush before you certify that it's not poison.
I ate some the other day. I haven't died. And they were good. And then the other thing we said,
possibly go wrong?
We have wild blueberries everywhere. And the problem with the blueberries is they're so tiny that you can barely see them. They're really tiny blueberries. But the raspberries are normal size.
The ones that get big enough, get eaten by birds. So just be careful out there. Buddy. Get one of those like plant ID apps.
I have an app. It's called, and I've been using this in every plant out there. It's called Picture This. The app is called Picture This. You take a picture of the plant and it tells you exactly what the plant is and everything about it.
And now, is that one of the ones that, like, if you have a wilting house plant, it'll tell you, like, add coffee,
yes,
you know? Like,
yes. If you do the paid version of this, which I did because it was so good at telling me what everything was, it's like $30. So it's a great app. It's called Picture This. And all I was doing is taking pictures of leaves, and it brings up everything, where it grows, how you take care of all of it.
Now, make sure that this is not charging you $30 a month, because there's one that almost got me.
Oh, really? No, this one was a year. I'm
okay,
pretty sure.
It's already a year. Yeah, all right. Double check, buddy. Hey, I was going to tell you, before we get to really bad ads, what I'm doing for Farm Boy this weekend. Remember, y'all, Farm Boy left me. He left me. He just left for the summer, like trying to grow up. He will be back in the fall. Somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Texas, because he's in oil and gas, right?
Where it's not hot during the summer at all.
Oh, he's going to be so miserable. He's going to miss me so much. Oh. Okay, so Farm Boy lived on campus, but lived in this place where he had a fairly big backyard. And if you know Farm Boy at all, he's a hustler. Like, he is always trying to turn a profit at anything. Okay. Like, he has this current horse, and I was like, we're not selling it. You're keeping this horse. You know, I don't want you to adopt this horse thinking you're going to make money on this horse. Like, yeah, you made, you know, $600 on your last one, but we're not doing that this time. Okay. You're just going to have the horse because you want it and you like it. And he was like, fine. And I see his wheels turn all the time. I'm like, stop it. Not selling this horse. So all this being said, he decided, because he's like, I mean, whatever it is, he's like, how can I make a business out of that? So he decided that he wanted to invest in meat rabbits. That's right. I said meat rabbits.
How much of a demand is there for?
I don't know, Glenn, but we have a mutual friend who used to be in the meat rabbit kind of thing. And he talked to that person and they decided to set up like some sort of like rabbitry. Okay. And
is that a word?
When I went to his house for his graduation party, there's a hutch outside the backyard with a S ton of rabbits in it. Like, these are rabbits, and they don't really like, I mean, they're cute, but they're like kind of feral. Like, he didn't like teach them to be friends. Yes. At the frat house, there's a rabbitry outside, a rabbit hutch with all these freaking rabbits.
Well, you don't want to make friends with your meat rabbit.
I know. And I'm like, they're so cute. Like, he's like, yeah, don't
do that. He's like, that's why he never wanted you to meet the meat rabbits.
I'm leaving in a week. They're all about to be meat rabbitified, you know? And I'm like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. So 3 days maybe before he's leaving, I'm like, hey, what are you doing with those rabbits? He's like, I butchered two of them. Like, himself, like, he's like
At the fraternity?
Yes! He butchered two rabbits in his backyard. And I was like, that's horrible.
Only in Oklahoma is that allowed.
He's like, yeah, it's too much work. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I was like, okay, so what are you going to do with the rest of them? He started, Glenn, with two rabbits. Uh-huh. And now there's 22.
That's what rabbits do.
I was like, did you not plan for this, Barrett? Like, what are you doing? You can't have... So...
We're going to have to revoke his name, Farm Boy, because he doesn't get it.
He is Farm Boy. That's the problem, is he tries to be too Farm Boy, and he gets himself in a pickle, because now he's got 22 freaking rabbits, and he left. So, but not before setting up with formerly aforementioned rabbitry expert and myself, freaking taking 22 rabbits to the chicken auction on Saturday night. We're going to the chicken auction and we're auctioning off his damn rabbits. Because
how much do you get for a meat rabbit?
We'll find out. I don't know, Glenn.
It's going to kill you because you know the people buying them are going to eat them.
I'm probably going to buy all the damn things and set them free.
He asked the wrong person. He's not going to see any profit from this.
I mean, it's a little girl that wants to snuggle on. You can just have it. You can have it. It's yours.
Although they're probably not very friendly. They haven't been touched.
No. They're not. They saw me coming. I was like, bunnies! And they're like, screw
chomp,
you!
Chomp.
And like, run to the back of the cage. Don't want anything to do with me.
They can bite your finger, too.
Yeah.
So you have to collect them? How do you just bring the whole crate?
Okay, I'm going to dime out the former rabbitry expert. It's Ginger, who lives here on the property in the tiny house. She had rabbits all growing up.
She had a big net.
They were like farm people. Like, I mean, she's from an Oklahoma farm where they like raised birds.
She has butchered rabbits before.
Yes, she knows all that thing. I call her my second husband because like if there's something dead, I'm like, Ginger, go get it. There's a dead chicken. I need you to get it. And so she does. Like, she's like a farm person. Like, she farms and stuff. But now she lives here with me and there's really not much of a farm. So she's assisting Farm Boy and becoming a farm boy. And so I'm like, this is your fault. You're handling this. I'll go with you, but you're doing it. I'm not having anything to do with these dang rabbits. So Ginger and I are loading up 22 rabbits this afternoon and taking them to the auction, which happens tonight. You're welcome.
Wear gloves, thick leather gloves.
I told her, I'm not doing nothing. I'll drive. That's it.
You're just going to throw them all in the back of the horse trailer? Let them
She
around.
Does. She has like hutches and rabbitry type things that she has. I mean, they like literally like she grew up eating rabbits. I mean, that's like, it's Oklahoma, baby. I mean, this is and here is me, this vegetarian of 37 years who just cannot emotionally handle all of this. And I'm like, you butcher, but I look at him different after that. But like, this is a thing, meet your meat, you know, like I get it. Like, you want to know where your stuff comes from? Came from Barrett's backyard. There you go.
I looked it up. I thought you were making up rabbitry, but it is a word.
Yeah, I know. It's because I heard it 9 billion times this year.
A place where domestic rabbits are kept in the backyard of a fraternity. It says it right here.
Well, here's to Farm Boy making some money and paying Ginger back and for all her time. And then I'm getting gas money out of the deal, okay? Like, I'm not driving for free.
Plus some new chickens on Saturday night.
Actually, they have some baby Muscovy ducks.
Oh, there you go. There we are.
They need them.
First thing Monday morning, we will get the chicken auction report straight out of Oklahoma.
Do you know that they don't just auction off chickens at the chicken auction, even though it's called the Chicken Coop Auction Barn? They actually auction off. They don't do horses, which is the reason I go. They quit doing dogs. They were selling puppies. It was like the worst, so they quit doing that. But now all they do is they do chickens and goats. And this week there's going to be at least a dozen boa constrictors that are up for auction. Also, llamas.
What?
Llamas. They have llamas that they're selling as well. So it's
Oklahoma.
And you should know the people that run this auction. I mean, think Oklahoma. They're all wearing overalls, but it's like not a fashion choice. It's just a way of life, you know?
All right, let's do some bad ads.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
I did want to mention that we actually won't be here on Monday because it is Memorial Day. So our best to all the veterans out there and families who have lost somebody in the line of duty. We'll be thinking about you. We'll be back on Wednesday. So I did want to mention that. It's time for really bad ads. That time of the week when we listener submit ads, we just have a little bit of fun with them from Facebook or Craigslist. And we read them and have some fun. I don't have a brilliant higher-end Southern accent like Debbie, but I'll do the best I can.
I mean, you can't beat that.
But
I
we have prizes. We give away prizes every month, and our prizes this month are provided by HorseLovers.com, home to over 120,000 horse products for you, your horse, and your barn. That's HorseLovers with a Z.com. And this month, we have a Back on Track Aurora Impact Half Pad. The Back on Track Aurora Impact Half Pad combines shock absorption. I cannot say that word.
Aurora is hard to say, too.
I know. With the Weltex technology that Back on Track is known for. It's made from lightweight material that molds the horse's back for a perfect fit. And that is
awesome.
A $90 value. What else do we have?
And then the other one is something we all need right now. It's the Gatsby Cool Mesh Fly Sheet with the neck cover. Because, like, I feel like fly sheets, like, what's the point? It's like, if it doesn't have a neck cover. The cool lightweight mesh fly rug does a great job of providing the horse with an effective barrier to flies and bugs while still allowing airflow. It's lightweight. It's reflective. It helps against sun bleaching. So that is an $80 value as well. It has all the UV stuff. It's a good month to submit a really bad ad if you haven't done it yet.
And we have a lot of people that did. We won't have time to get to Katie's or Aaron's, but you are entered into the drawing. Okay, the first one, I'm going to read it, and then you're going to describe the pictures.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
This is Joe Lynn sent this one in. I don't know where it's from. 8-year-old male, really healthy and calm. He's a winner, really fast and strong. I definitely would keep racing him, but new horses are coming in. Retired from racing last year, PM me for more info. Serious buyers only, please. 6XXX, best offer, will not go lower. Now, let me explain this to this person. Best offer means that you go
You'll
lower.
Go lower.
Wild Be the Best Barrow Horse. Locate, that's right, the sentence said Wild Be the Best Barrow Horse. No idea what that means. Located in Meridian, Idaho. Oh, here we go. It's Idaho. He's ready for his new career. Now, keep in mind what they said. Not been racing him till last year, and he's feral since then. And now describe the pictures of this horse.
They said he's really healthy and calm. He's really calm. He's so calm that the first picture is him on a hot walker rearing up to the sky. He's standing on one tippy toe at this point.
Why do you post a picture of your horse rearing when you're trying to sell it?
As really calm. Now, the second picture is also him on the same hot walker pulling back.
Yeah, like mid dead, pulling back
dead
like a mule.
Pulling back like a mule. The third picture is of him in a stall and he is tied to the wall. Now, not just tied to the wall, literally his face is to the wall. Like there's no room, no nothing. I need this horse, but I cannot pay $6,000 for off the track. People, see, here's what people don't realize. When the horse is a racehorse, they have a very substantial value. When they are not a racehorse anymore, they become no value. Like they have very little value. It's just the potential of what the person who wants the horse to train it for a second career is. And I've had to have that discussion with people before, like, no, just because he was $15,000 claimer doesn't mean he's a $15,000
right.
horse.
$500 horse now.
Now that he's, because he doesn't know anything besides that. So you have to retrain. Anyway, good luck getting your $6,000. We'll take best offers, but just don't offer any lower than $6,000.
Remember, he's going to be a great barrow horse.
He's wild. Yes, wild.
Wild. Yep. Loreen sent in the next one. By the way, if you read your own, you get two entries into the drawing. And I think Loreen won something about 2 months ago.
Good morning. It's Loreen Barden. Hi. And I'm going to read a really bad ad. And I have a Craigslist ad, not for a horse, but this is for a vase.
Okay.
Pleasant vase, $7. And there's a picture. It's a green vase. Looks like something somebody made in pottery class. And the ad reads, here we have a very pleasant vase. It holds flowers very well and is quite aesthetically pleasing. It does not leak. It is not haunted by any ghosts of any sea captains and will hold large numbers of flowers. In summation, please buy my vase. Condition, excellent. And that's the ad. So if you want this person's very beautiful vase, it's all yours. Thanks for listening. Bye.
So I listened to comedian Nate Bargatze, and he's talking about how, because this vase was like $6-7.
Yeah.
And he's like, my wife sells things on Facebook Marketplace. Do you know how I know that? Because somebody showed up at my house to collect a $7 pair of jeans or something like that. And he was like, my wife could potentially make $20 on selling this thing, or we could get murdered, like one or the other. So he's coming to your house for a $20 item. It's $20 or murdered. And she's willing to take that chance when she knows I'm the one who's going to answer the door. And think about that, like $6, just donate it.
Who drives
for God's sake
to buy a $7 vase any distance?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Now, Jennifer's kind of a master at selling inexpensive stuff on Facebook Marketplace, but she always meets him at the grocery store about 2 blocks away.
See, that's smart. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently my wife at least doesn't want me killed. There's that.
That's good. So she's willing to get killed in a parking lot.
Yeah, but apparently.
I'm going to involve you.
Apparently.
Sandy sent this one in, and it is a ad for a beautiful rooster. Free rooster. 2 years old, hatched right here on the farm. Named him Miracle, as we previously did not have a rooster.
That's not a miracle.
Glenn, there's no baby daddy on the farm. How did he happen? His name is Miracle because there was no rooster that's a miracle. And it also goes on to say that he is not petting zoo material.
No, none of them are. He looks mean too.
Named a miracle as we previously did not have a rooster. That's funny, Sandy.
Jennifer and Marie sent this one in. Big red roan colt will probably buck like the devil. We have a theme today already starting. Big red colt will probably buck like the devil with a knot in his tail. Oh, by the way, there are more analogies in this paragraph than I have ever seen in one paragraph
in my life. All right, I'll count them.
Okay, you count them. Let me start over. Big red roan colt will probably buck like the devil with a knot in his tail.
Two.
Think he might prowl around the country like a cougar and outrun a Wyoming stiff wind.
Four.
He'll be sure-footed and have a decent-sized hoof. He should be able to swim like a duck.
Five. Are we on five?
Five. Yep, five. He's got a good eye, but not a kind eye. What does that good is? If it's not kind, it's not good. He ain't skittish and will run towards pressure. Nice ears, nice head, although he has more swirls on his forehead than a hippie's tie-dye t-shirt.
Six.
He got a hip on him like a spinster librarian.
Seven.
I am not making this up. He'll make a hand a good saddle horse. He'll make a poor hand go get a job in town.
Eight.
He ought to be worth at least a couple of grand and a sack full of Turk's head marbles.
Nine.
And a couple of good pocket knives.
Ten. I don't know. I don't know what those things mean.
I don't know.
I don't know.
For more info, call. How many did we get? 10 in one paragraph?
I think so. I don't know. I lost account. That is.
Do you
like
think this person speaks like this, or this was AI?
Just so you know, this is a Mustang. Like, he's got his neck tag on him still in the picture. Beautiful roan Mustang.
No heart.
Clearly, these people could not train, so I'm going to need to.
No heart. The only other person I know that speaks like this is Tempe. You know?
Oh my God, it is Templeton Thompson. She's selling the horse.
This would have probably been funny, red and southern accent, actually.
He'll run off like a Wyoming stiff wind. Oh my God. You missed your chance. All right. Well, Chloe sent the next one in, and this is a double horse float, which is what they call a horse trailer over in anywhere else and not US. All right. So, double horse float. This is $50.
That's the right price.
Yeah. It's not. It's not a double horse float at all. Double horse float description. Double horse float frame. You have to make it for storage or anything good solid. Base and metal. Length 5.5 feet, blah blah blah. Pick up. Yeah, you can't pick this thing up. It'll fall apart. It's a piece of garbage.
It's basically a box. It doesn't even have wheels. This is the first one that doesn't have any wheels or axles. It's just sitting on the ground. It looks like an old metal box.
Like
sitting on the ground.
Like a back of a choo-choo train kind of thing.
It will fall apart on the way home. So maybe just burn it and give the fire company some practice. That might be a better plan, I think. I'm glad to see there's bad ads in other countries. That makes me happy.
I know. Yeah. Makes me feel better.
Yeah. Steph sent this one in. Grade quarter horse, 16 to 18 years old. She needs work. Someone that knows how to train her would be great for her. You can put a saddle on her, but when you get a half on, she bolts. She leads good, stands for my farrier, which is the most misspelled word we have had in the 14 years we've been doing this. Everybody spells it F-E-R-R-I-E-R. I suck at English. I suck at spelling. Ask Jamie. I know how to spell F-A-R-R-I-E-R.
That's thoroughbred. You get that one wrong.
I get thoroughbred wrong. I have to look it up every time I spell it. I just put TB now. I don't even bother. She leads good, stands for my farrier, depending on how she feels.
Your horse is not trained. Like, that's
pretty
much. We
have a theme. Bucking and bolting today is the theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, no. This is another word that's misspelled all the time. Like, not even just in really bad ads, just all the time. Roxana sent this one in. This filly has sat on the back burner, no fault of her own. She's ready to start. Lounges for farrier loads.
What? She lounges for farrier loads?
So lunges, nobody can spell lunge. I don't think I even know how to spell lunges because I've seen it every single way. But this is lounges for farrier loads.
This one got and farrier this is, right, though.
Yeah, they did spell farrier right. Congratulations. Yeah. Well, I do love the fact that, you know, they've got pictures of the papers of the quarter horse.
Some of these names are great.
And you know how I love me some quarter horse names. So I'm just going to go through the lineage real quick. This sorrel mare is named Guy's, all one word, Guy's Real Frosty Breeze. And the only way that you could tie that to the parents' names is the mare's name, the mama's name, is Real Fancy Deal. So the only Real. They came up with Guy's Frosty Breeze all on their own.
Well,
oh, wait.
I don't know the sire. Hold on.
High on Guy's Perks. What? That's not a name. By the way, her granddaddy is Gambler's Dashing Bug. And grandma on the other side was Not a Bad Deal. That's the horse's name, is Not a Bad Deal. Stupid.
These quarter horse names are the best.
Guys, Real Frosty Breeze, Noodle, Nip Tuck, whatever. Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. For cash. You got to throw that in there.
Kim sent this one in. $1,200 takes him. Doesn't buck when you saddle him except for when he does. Again, bucking. Oh! We have another bucking one. Doesn't buck except when he does. Hard to catch. Bites when handling, but sweet as pecan pie when feeding. No, he's not. He is sound, though. Well, that's good. Love him, catch him, or give him to your ex's new boyfriend.
It actually doesn't say that, Glenn. It says love him, can him,
oh, can or give him.
Do you know what that means?
The only canning I know is in a jar.
Yeah. And that's what they do with horses. They send them to the canners. I hope they didn't mean that. I hope it's a misspelling. Don't take your horse to the cannery. That's like old school, right? But love him, can him, or give him to your ex's new girlfriend.
Yeah, but I love this last line. Just get him off my property. If you think it's ulcers, just buy him. How many comments did she have saying it was ulcers? Oh, my God. We have a lot of buckers today. Boy, if you want deals on some buckers, we got them for you today.
Oh, no soul. This one comes to us from, let's see, what does that say? I can't see. Allison sent this one. My stupid
Pacific
thing.
Northwest. Scroll. Okay. Yeah.
And Allison, this is the Pacific Northwest Horses and Tack Facebook page, but it's PNW Horses and Tack. Hi, group. I'm looking for a quarter horse broad mare near Yakima.
I do like That's broad it. Mares, though. I do. I think.
That's all there is.
I have a broad gelding. Why not have a broad mare?
I don't even know what a broad mare. Yeah, there you go. Are you looking for a bred mare
or a brood mare?
I don't know.
Yeah. Fruit broad. Yeah, they're close. Amy sent this one in and she read it. So let's hear what Amy has to say.
This is Amy Walrath with another really bad ad. This is from the Best of Craigslist. Pain in the Beep Mini Donkey. Precarious 7-year-old with a penchant for opening gates. Army crawling under fences and walking up to the neighbors at ungodly hours. Loves to be groomed by everyone, but the one that feeds him. Demands a king's ransom in the finest hay, only to pee all over everything that might hit the ground. Enjoys regular visits from the vet and farrier, as he routinely causes such a fuss that I need to reschedule. Thoroughly loves to chase and maim dogs and other furry critters. Gets along well with pasture mates. That can outmaneuver his back hooves. Trailers well, probably. Gelded, though would happily do again. Potential homes will be thoroughly screened for video cameras so I can make a clean getaway.
Gelded would do it again.
All right, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for sending in your ads. You had a good batch this week. We appreciate it.
Remember, if you read them, you get double the entries. But if you read them in an accent that is not your own, triple.
We're going to call it a week. We'll be seeing you back here. We'll have a show for you on Tuesday. Jamie and I will be back on Wednesday.
I'll report to the chicken rabbit auction.
Yes, I can't wait to hear what that's like. Ooh, it's going to be packed. Your prices will be high because it's a Memorial Day weekend.
And the cool thing is they're expecting severe weather on Saturday, so that should be fun.
Oh, yeah. You'll get blown away at the auction. Good.
I'm going to die with all my closest Oklahoma friends.
Why don't I think they have an emergency shelter at the auction?
I feel like they don't.
And I feel like if they did, it would be small, and you wouldn't want to be in there with that particular group. It'd be
nice. Yeah, I'll take my chances. I'm good. We'll ride it out.
Yep. Get in your Dodge Ram and run away.
Spade, neuter, geld, everybody. Have a great weekend.